Welcome to the Summit Church Sermon of the Week. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit summitsanmarcos.com.
John did a message on through the eyes of Paul, and each gospel was written from a different person, from their uniqueness. Matthew and John noted that the events were fulfilled of the Old Testament writing, yet Luke's purpose seemed to simply show that Jesus was a forgiving person. He was the forgiving Messiah, even at his death. And as I preached before, I shared that Luke's gospel was a gospel of mercy, that Luke was a doctor, and that Luke was a gospel of love. And I love Luke. Luke's my favorite gospel, but I want to come from that perspective. Number one, I just want to share a few words of what Jesus said on the cross. Luke 23, 34. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I want to start there, that most times when you're torqued, you're upset, you're offended, somebody did something, a lot of times they really don't know what they did. We think they do, but they really don't. And they divided his garments, and they cast lots, and the people stood looking on. But even the rulers with them sneered, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself." He could have saved himself, but he was saving us. And the soldiers mocked him, coming, offering sour wine, and saying, "If you're the king, save yourself." An inscription was written, "This is the king of the Jews." Jesus forgave. He forgave the Roman soldier who crucified him, plus those who put the Roman soldiers up to it. Verse 23, so number one is, "Father, forgive them." Jesus speaking, "Father, forgive them." From the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them." You know, we need to say that more often, "Father, forgive them." If you're hot about something, "Father, forgive them." If somebody's got you upset, "Father, forgive them." That needs to come out of our mouth. Jesus on the cross, he had a slightly bad day leading up to the cross. If you study it, most people would be dead before they even got to pick up the cross to go down the road. You know, even to be whipped like they whip them, they have such a blood loss, they die in the blood loss at the beating he took prior to the cross. Let alone that beating, let alone the events up to it, let alone all of the things, the beating before he got the lashes, before he got... It's amazing that he lived to that point other than that he was life itself, and he went to the cross and said, "Forgive them life for us that we could have life." Jesus forgave all these people. He said, "Forgive them, they know not what they do." He forgave... everyone from the cross. Amazing. In verse 42, it says, then he said, "Lord, remember me when you come in," the thief on his side said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said, "Surely I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise." He's forgiving the person on the cross. He's still forgiving. He's still acting. It's like some of us, we have a bad day and we have an attitude and we stop ministering. And Jesus, through all that, still was ministering. He's my hero. He's amazing. Jesus forgave while he was on the cross. And then after he rose, he asked us to do something. John 20, 23, if you forgive the sins of any, they're forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they're retained. Ouch. We have a mandate to forgive. We've been forgiven. We need to forgive. See, Luke is the mercy gospel and the gospel of love. If you forgive someone, you're extending mercy. For mercy is withholding punishment, right? When you give someone mercy, you're saying, "I'm withholding punishment due." So you did something, you're supposed to be punished for it, and mercy means I'm not going to punish you, right? So think about it. So what's forgiveness? When you forgive someone, you're extending mercy. For mercy is withholding punishment. Unforgiveness is a person's way of holding someone's offense against them. Unforgiveness is the opposite of mercy. It's merciless. And the act of forgiveness is releasing someone from the consequence you believe they deserve. And I said you believe because sometimes they deserve it. But if Jesus forgave us, even one sin we've committed is enough, for the wages of sin is death, to sentence us to death. How much more should we forgive others? And you say, "No, this is justified. They did it." I can't tell you how many times I know someone did it, but I'm still called to love them and to forgive them, even if they're guilty, because I'm called to show mercy. We're called to show mercy because we've been given mercy. And if we judge the way we judge, my goodness, if he judged us on our sins, we all would be dead. But we all have received mercy, and we're supposed to give mercy. So Jesus on the cross, amazing. He's releasing someone. And so Jesus forgives and then tells us to do the same. And love. Love's the same. You say, "Well, where's love fit in this?" Well, Love is patient. Love is kind. It's not jealous. It doesn't brag. It's not arrogant. It doesn't act unbecomingly. It doesn't seek its own. I'm reading out of the NAS, and it says it's not easily provoked, and it doesn't take into account a wrong suffered. Someone wrongs you, and you go, you wronged me. Don't mess with me. Are you here? Do you ever get that way? Are you real easy to forgive, or are you like, if you push my buttons? Are you here? So somebody offends you. Do you release the offense, or do you hold on to it? Because unforgiveness means you're holding on to it. Someone said unforgiveness is ridiculous. It's like drinking poison and saying, I hope you're going to die from this. And you poison yourself because you're holding on to unforgiveness. And unforgiveness creates bitterness. Hebrews talks about it. Don't let this bitter root defile everyone around you. It's like drinking poison and asking. It's like you're judging, and then you're judged by the judgment you make, and you think they're going to die. And it's like it's ridiculous. There's no logic to it. Unforgiveness is a really interesting thing. But it's the opposite of love. So forgiving is loving, and God was love. St. Augustine said this, God loves each of us as if there was only one of us. God loves each of us as if there's only one of us. How do you love the people around you? They're expendable, you know? You guys, you're out. You guys are in. I don't need that section anymore. What if they were the only ones? I should love you like you are the only one on earth. That's the way God loves you. So if I can love you like that, and if you were the only one, Jesus would have died for you. And when you get the revelation, you say, he died just for me. He lived. He brought me to life. And if that's it, he just did it for me. When you have that revelation, you treat everyone different around you. Then you see others and you say, if it was only you, I cannot hold it against you, because if you were the only one on earth, I have to connect with you. Are you with me? Heaven would be like a lonely, boring place if it was only you living there. Wouldn't that be weird? He's a relational God. And what does God get out of the whole deal? He populates heaven and he gets a big family. And some of the people you have a problem with are your brothers and sisters for eternity. Man, we had 10 kids in our family. We had 3 people per room, right? We didn't have a 10-bedroom house. So sometimes we lived with a couple of our brothers and sisters. I'm just saying, I don't know, I'm just saying, God might have some fun with that in heaven. No, I'm just saying, never. I'm not even going there, I'm leaving it alone, just move on. It's a powerful revelation. If you have a hard time forgiving, we need to know the scripture says Jesus suffered, yet he uttered no threats. I mean, think about it. You say, well, you know, it's hard for me to forgive. Well, anybody taking ballet? Any ballerinas in a room? It's hard to do ballet, isn't it? How about point? You gone up on point? Takes a little practice, doesn't it? How about basketball? Been a basketball star? You think that basketball star just like it's easy to throw that ball into that hoop every time and all those free throws one after another? What are they doing? What are they doing? How do you think you become an expert at anything? You practice over and over and over. And there's a principle. It's like the 10,000 hour rule. If you do it for 10,000 hours, you're an expert at it. And so people sit there and they throw free throw after free throw. And then after every one of those, then it's like muscle memory and it goes back in and you just remember. You do something over and over, whether it's, you know, the arts or whether it's sports. You do it over and over and through that practice and training. So that's awesome news that we can grow in it. But sometimes it's like, oh, shoot, means I got to do it over and over. I mean, do I got to forgive him 7 times? How about 7 times 70? And the first time forgiveness is like a little kid. It's like, say you're sorry. I'm sorry. Then your mom turns away and you're like, I'm going to kill you. Been there, right? Teresa doesn't even know the things that went on behind her back. The boys are looking at each other, but you're dead. You know, the little one that's telling on everyone, just saying. Moving right along. Stuff happens. Sometimes we're not so good at forgiving, but we have to start somewhere. Huh? When a little tiny, say this little kid, Ivy draws a picture and it's not so great. And she gives it to you. You put it on your refrigerator. And we pray a prayer, and it's not so good. Lord, I forgive them. They're a jerk. They're stinking a jerk. Don't bless them. Blast them. Put it back on their head, but forgive them. I forgive them, though. I forgive them, though. And God puts it on his refrigerator in heaven because you're trying. And then you get a little better. And then you get a little better. But if you're like a 20-year-old Christian and you're praying like that, he's not putting that picture on the refrigerator. I mean, if Matt draws stick people, Annie's like, look at my Matt did for me. No, that doesn't happen. Are you with me? So we can grow in forgiveness, but we have to say, like, Jesus, forgive them. So we have to say it more out of our mouths, and then until we mean it. And if your feelings will follow your actions. Forgiveness is an act. It's not a feeling. I don't feel like it. No, it's a decision you make. I don't feel it. You are never going to feel. Your feelings will come after. Keep forgiving. I forgive them. I forgive them. I forgive them. You with me? So you get better at it when you practice. And if you're not doing it so good, you have to practice more. So it's easy. You say, well, that's easy for you to say. If you keep saying it, it'll be easy for you to say too. If God's for us, who can be against us? So Luke goes on to describe the next thing. He says, number two is, Jesus says in verse 39, when the criminal's hanging, says, if you're the Christ, save yourself. Jesus is like, man, you're like dying and you're still pushing that button. And the other one says, don't you even fear God, seeing we're under the same condemnation and we did it? We're like messed up hoods. And Jesus didn't do anything. And Jesus, and he tells Jesus, remember me, come in your kingdom. Jesus says, today you'll be with me in paradise. Jesus took the time to forgive, but he also was saying, you know, you're going to be with me because Jesus' death on the cross opened the door for all of us to be with him. So when he said, you will be with me, that was just the first fruits. All of us have that opportunity to be with him. And Jesus laid his life down so that he could tell all of us, come and be with me in paradise. So when you say, well, I don't know how to witness, I don't know how to do this, just start and say, Jesus loves you and he made a way for you and he wants you to come be with him. How's that sound? Eternity sounds pretty awesome. Hell's not a fun place. There's no party. It's not Disneyland. People don't talk about hell. I don't want to talk about hell. How could God do that? He didn't create hell for humans. He created it for demons that rebelled against him. And he created a place for eternal punishment for them. And he sent his son to die for us that we all could have mercy. And he forgives all of our sins. And he opens the door wide. And his love, and he's saying, come. It's like in Song of Solomon, he's saying, come away with me. Come be with me. His heart is a love. It's a love gospel. He's telling us to come. God so loved that he gave. And we can't just see the cross, mechanical, religious part and say, oh, let me go through the four spiritual laws. Pray whatever it takes to get souls saved, get them saved. But communicate love because God loves you. And he's saying, come be with me. It's different than going, you know, let's go on a date, baby. She's like, what? Versus, baby, I love you. I would love to take you out to dinner. She's like, yeah, let's go. Are you here? God's calling you with a love cry. He's not just judging you going, you must do for me, and if you do these things, then maybe I'll open the door for you and let you touch my sandal. He's calling you. He's loving you. He's saying, he's appealing to you. He's saying, come. Come away with me. Come. Come. He's appealing. He can't love anymore. He can't offer you anymore. If you're not receiving the love, it's because we are broken, not him. His love is not broken. His love is not limited. His grace is unlimited. The riches of his mercy, it's just wealthy. It's just beyond our imagination. And we think, there's no more for me. No, that's your perception. Somebody taught you that. That's not the word. He died so that we could come and be connected with him. He broke down that wall of separation. Paul so eloquently talks about it in Ephesians 2. And literally, he's in jail suffering because they said he brought someone past that wall of separation. The wall wasn't there. They built the wall and said, Gentiles can't go past it. Then they said Paul brought what's-his-face with him, and he crossed the wall. And was it Timothy or Titus? And basically, he said and they threw him in jail. So he's in jail penning this, saying, God crushed the separation wall. So that it's not these people get to come in and these people don't. He broke it down on the cross. All of us get to go into his presence. All of us get to go to heaven. All the earth can be saved. Even the most hideous of sinners. Even those that are the most violators of virus. All of them. And he loves us so much. Wow. It's a good news. And the last one Jesus said from the cross is he said, into thy hands I commit my spirit. What are we committed to? Are we committed to God? Do we commit our lives to God? And he willingly laid his life down. And then it says he breathed his last breath, but he only breathed his last breath for that moment. It's almost like that was the last play of that chapter, and it shifted because he breathed his last breath, and he went down. But God raised him from the dead and put breath back in him and just And Jesus came to life and the power of God raised him from the dead. That's next Sunday. That's Easter Sunday. We're celebrating the resurrection. And then Jesus came back, and then Jesus goes to his disciples and he just breathes on them, receive the Holy Spirit. He's released us in a powerful way to be his witness and to carry his love. Isn't that good news? So I hope you got something from that. I had to do the rocket version, but Father, forgive them, be with me in paradise, and I commit my, as he committed himself to God, I pray that you could commit yourself to him. Would you stand with me? And if you're not, see, the interesting thing about Christianity is people say, well, I believe, so I'm saved. So I was raised in a religion with a bunch of hats and sticks and religious stuff, right? But I didn't have a relationship with him. And they say, well, do you believe? I would have said, yeah, I believe. But James says even the demons believe that he's God. So when it says, if you believe, you shall be saved, the word believe in the Greek, when it says, if you believe, you shall be saved, it says it means not a mere credence, but to cast your life upon. Which means basically it wasn't me saying in the sixth grade some statement that now I'm saved. And that makes me saved for the rest of my life. It's not just a statement, I believe. Demons say that they believe. They fear God. They know he's God. Devil knows he's God. He's not going to heaven. Are you with me? It means to cast your life upon. That's a commitment. Jesus showed the greatest commitment of anyone all the way to his last breath. He's still forgiving. He's still loving. God wants to forgive you today. And God wants to call you into his presence to a real life, a life, abundant life. And he wants us to commit ourselves to him. And that's what I'm asking today. If we'll just listen to those three words from the cross, will you receive forgiveness? Will you come away with him? Not just in a service, but every day, will you just, God, I'm with you. I don't care if it's the first 5 minutes of your day. I don't care if it's 10, 20, whatever it is. Will you connect with him and say, God, I commit myself to you. And then it gets fun and it gets greater and it gets bigger. And then you want to do more and you want to talk to him all the time. And it's awesome. He wants to connect with you. He wants to do life with you. That's beautiful. He wants to walk with you. He doesn't want to just say, I'm married. I told you I love you. And if anything changes, I'll tell you again. But otherwise, don't expect me to say I love you again. How ridiculous. I want to hear it. I want to hear her say, I love you. I'm trying to get one now if she'll say it. Oh, I love you. See, I got one. It lights me up. I want to. Are you with me? And he wants you to be so close he could just whisper, I love you, instead of having to shout it. I do love you. You're way over there. Come closer. He wants to be with you. And he wants us to commit. And that commitment is a whole process of life where we grow. We get better at forgiving. We get better at loving. We get better at sharing. We get better at being like him. Don't condemn yourself if your picture looks like a stick man. Don't condemn yourself if it's like you're like, I'm ashamed to put this on the refrigerator of heaven. He's not. He brags over you. He loves you. Bow your head, please, for a second. God, I just thank you for everyone in this room, and I pray that they could connect through forgiveness. And I want to ask you, if you need forgiveness today, that you would ask him to forgive your sins. You ask him to forgive your sins. He says that if we confess our sins, John 1:9, if you confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Not 50%, not 90, not 99 and a half, all of it. So today we can walk out all 100% forgiven out the doors. So would you just say this with me all over the room? Would you just say, forgive me, forgive me, forgive my sins, God. I recognize Jesus died on the cross. Just talk to him. Come on, talk to him. I believe that Jesus was crucified. Come on, tell him, I believe that he died. I believe he was buried. I believe he rose. I believe the gospel. And I ask you, forgive me, God. Forgive me. Forgive me. Can you do that? Say, forgive me. And then say, can you make me better at forgiving? I want to be like you. Come on, talk to him. I want to be like you. I do. I want to be more like him. I tell him all the time. I want to love more. I want to love more. I want less of me and more of you, God. I truly want, like Paul said, it's not I who live, but it's Christ Jesus who lives in me. In this life, I live in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God. Oh, you died for us. You're so good. You love us. You can't love us anymore. I want to love more. I want to bless more. I want to be able to turn the cheek on a Judas. I want to be able to extend mercy to somebody that's done a sin that can't bothers me. Some sins bother you. Some of you have trigger points, and it's like, I can forgive everything, but that thing I can't forgive. I want to forgive everything. I want to be like God. He said, give me more love, God. Make me more like you. Let me be with you, because if I'm with you, I'll be more like you. You become like who you hang out with. Think of who you hang out with. That's who you become. So God, I want to hang out with you. I want to come away. I'm going to respond to Song of Songs. I want to respond. I want to come away with you. I want to run on the mountaintops. We do a missions trip, and then I just love getting away. It's my birthday next month. I can't wait to just get away and be with him. And I'll be with my wife too, but I want to be with him. I want more of him. It's not just doing. It's like, I want to connect. Oh God, Jesus, just look for that lonely place to go be with you. Let us just be with you. Let us start with you. Let us just learn to love better. And God, we're committed to share your love. We're committed not to hold on to it, not to be selfish, but to be free to tell people how to get forgiveness, to give forgiveness, but to tell people they can be forgiven. Even people that we kind of wish would go to hell. Let's just be real. There's people you know that you're like, I'm kind of happy that you're like, would go there because you don't like them. But Jesus loved his enemies. Be real. There's people that we, and you say that, how could you say that? No, be real. There's people that you really don't care about, but God cares about everyone. So help us be like you in every situation. And when we love the people, that's the biggest witness ever, is when you love someone that's not loving you. When you love somebody who's saying hurtful things, or love someone who's treated you unfair, and you watch the door that opens, God, I pray that you give us God love. And I pray in the name of Jesus. And I just want you just to say, fill me with your love, God. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me with your great love. I love you. Amen. Hey, it went 11 minutes over. Hope you got something good out of that. Just want a few words from the cross. I pray, I bless you. I pray that Jesus' words, the psalmist said, thy word I hide in my heart that I will not sin against you. Have a blessed week. This is a beautiful week. I hope to see you on Friday or Saturday or Sunday services. God bless you. Have a nice week.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Be sure to visit summitsanmarcos.com for other exciting content from Summit Church.
Give of your mercy with a mighty